Treating deadly insect-borne diseases is important, but preventing them from spreading in the first place is important, too. That's one of the things Ken Linthicum has been working on. He's the director of the Center for Medical, Agricultural, and Veterinary Entomology at USDA's Agricultural Research Service in Gainesville, Florida. His work has helped prevent potentially tens of thousands of deaths from diseases transmitted by insects in the Horn of Africa and elsewhere. And for that, he's a finalist for the Service to America Medal in the category of National Security and International Affairs. And Ken, welcome to Federal News Radio. Thanks so much for coming on with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Jared.
So one of the things that you were cited for in your nomination was associated with something called Rift Valley Fever, which I don't think is something that we see too much of here in North America. So first of all, I'd like to have you explain what that is and what exactly you've been doing to predict where it would strike in large numbers, as it has.
Okay. Well, Rift Valley Fever is a virus disease that's transmitted to people and to animals by the bite of certain kinds of mosquitoes. It's a major emerging disease, and it's a potential bioterrorism agent, and there is really no treatment or licensed human vaccine available for it. The disease causes severe infections in livestock like cattle, sheep, and goats, and it also has a very serious impact on humans who become infected, like blindness, encephalitis, hepatitis, severe bleeding, and could be fatal in up to 10 to 20% of people in areas not previously exposed. What we did was to develop a system whereby we could monitor global sea surface temperatures and then subsequent elevated rainfall and satellite-derived measurements of vegetation to model and eventually to predict, with lead times of 2 to 5 months, specific areas where Rift Valley Fever would occur in humans and animals. And they were anticipated to occur in the Horn of Africa, Sudan, and southern Africa, and they did. It's primarily a disease of Africa, the Middle East, and the Arabian Peninsula.
And so once you've determined where these likely outbreaks are going to be, because this is an insect-borne disease, so you're really trying to track insect populations as sort of a proxy for where this is going to happen, right? And so once you have that information, what can you do with it?
Yeah, one of the keys is that the fact that we know that the virus actually is maintained in the eggs of mosquitoes that's laid into soil, and it remains in that soil for long periods of time until there's heavy rainfall. So the key is heavy rainfall. And then when it comes out, the adult mosquitoes are actually infected. So if we know it far enough in advance, we can start a response and mitigation effects. For example, in Kenya, where there was a substantial response, there was initiation of enhanced surveillance activities. In fact, it actually led to the discovery of the virus before anybody knew it was there. Mm. They also impose animal movement restrictions and quarantines. They distribute mosquito nets to people. They disseminated public information to mobilize social and cultural activities directed at reducing contact between infected animal products and mosquitoes. And they actually implemented specific domestic animal vaccination programs and some mosquito control programs as well.
The numbers here are striking. In 1997, there were some 100,000 human cases of Rift Valley Fever, $100 million in economic losses. That was before you had developed these models. 10 years later, after you had started predicting these outbreaks, 1,000 human cases, and the economic loss down to $65 million. Can we attribute that all to the sort of mitigating steps that you just mentioned, or was it just a less significant outbreak that year?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of it had to do with the response activities. Some of it could have been the fact that this was a smaller outbreak. Of course, there's no way of knowing that. From our monitoring perspectives, it looked like it was a very similar type of outbreak.
Where else can you take this kind of modeling technique? Does it work for other diseases? Like, for example, could you use it in North America to track and predict the spread of West Nile virus?
Yes. Well, there's a number of people attempting to do that, and certainly it's possible, and we're part of that group. We have been successful, though, at predicting when elevated dengue transmission might occur, for example, in Southeast Asia. Also, it can be used for predicting malaria transmission in some parts of the world. For example, we know that elevated temperatures in the peninsula of Korea leads to increased malaria transmission. And then there's a new virus that's been circulating for the past 4 or 5 years on a pandemic scale called chikungunya virus that has a major impact of climate on its disease transmission. So we're working on predicting that disease as well.
Hmm. Before we let you go, we want to mention this, the second piece of work that you were mentioned for in your nomination for the SAMMY Awards, which was a disease that impacted military members serving in Afghanistan. I'm going to let you say the name of it because I'm not confident in my ability to pronounce it. But what was this disease and what did you do to help mitigate it there?
Well, what we did there was to develop new methods for military to control sandflies. And sandflies are a small insect that also feeds on blood, and it's remotely related to mosquitoes. And they transmit a parasite called Leishmania. And Leishmania is a debilitating and sometimes deadly disease as well. Some forms can cause very severe skin lesions and nose and mouth mutilations. And then other forms can actually affect the internal organs and cause death. And our military troops deployed in Southwest Asia, as well as those deployed in Africa and South America, are all at risk for this disease. So what we did was we developed new methods to treat materials associated with the military with long-lasting pesticides. For example, we devised a method to treat camouflage netting and also HESCO barriers, which are wire and fabric barriers used to create walls by the military. And we found after testing in several different places, particularly in dry, hot environments, that we could actually have a good effect and kill sandflies for over a year, both in the deserts of Southern California, where the environment's very similar to Southwest Asia, and also in Kenya, where we have natural populations of sandflies that are actually infected with Leishmania parasites.
Very impressive. I want to congratulate you on the SAMMY nomination, and thank you so very much for coming on Federal News Radio, Ken.
Thank you. My pleasure.